In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sweet little eyelid shut, the tiny little fingers still, the little chest rising and falling with deep, peaceful breaths. Have you ever just sat and watched a newborn sleeping? Me either. The second Babykins is asleep, I'm out of there, like a ninja, tiptoeing, army crawling without taking a breath, whatever it takes to get escape, to get a moment to myself. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head, and Mary and Joseph were relieved. Not only was their little one asleep, he was safe. There was no hospital for them, no home, not even an inn. There was no state-of-the-art safety crib, just a feeding trough, a manger. That's all they had. There slept their little, nursing, crying, diaper-dirtying newborn. And yet, there's more here than meets the eye, isn't there? For this little newborn is none other than the Lord, Yahweh in human flesh, the omnipotent, almighty one, now with his arms bound in swaddling cloths, the omniscient, all-knowing one, now doesn't know how to speak a word and can only cry, the omnipresent one, the maker of the heavens and the earth, now lies in a little manger. You can get yourself over to Bethlehem if you like and be somewhere near where he was. Well, good thing we all know, it's impossible for any infinite God to enclose himself in finite flesh, to become a speck of dust, a lowly mortal of all things, a clump of cells, a fetus, a breastfeeding baby. Why, that would be below the dignity of any real God. And simply unthinkable, really. Why would God Almighty so humble himself, so lower himself, and go to such ridiculous lengths? The answer is as astonishing as it is humbling. The answer is for you, that you would not die in your sins. Mary and Joseph name him as the angel had told them. They name him Jesus, which means Savior, for he has come to save you from your sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. You, that is why he has come. You, who probably think that you have bigger problems to deal with than your sin and death and the devil, how foolish we human beings are. If we could but see the true peril we are in, we would melt with fear. But more often than not, you and I don't even get it. And yet that is why he has come, for us. Our eyes cannot tell us who this child is. Only our ears can. Eyes would see nothing but a little Jewish boy, in a manger, in a place fit not for God or for man, in a place fit only for animals. But ears can hear the word of God in the mouth of the prophet. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. This little shoot, this little stem, this little branch is Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. What Isaiah puts poetically, Luther puts plainly. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. In other words, this Jesus is true God and true man in one person. He is sinless, that he might be the sin bearer. He is the unblemished Lamb, that he might be sacrificed for the sins of the world. He is your Lord and your Savior. Isaiah tells us, he shall not judge by what he sees, or decide disputes by what he hears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. What on earth are loins? Well, just another word for waist. The point being, righteousness and faithfulness will be wrapped around him. This child, the Messiah, will judge with righteousness. And this statement ought to send a little tremor of fear through our sinful hearts, if not a rather big one. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. All he would have to do is name our sins, yours or mine, or reveal our thoughts, and we would not only be humiliated, but we would stand utterly self-condemned. With the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked. How then shall we escape? For anger and lust and greed and discontent, all manner of evil, flow forth from our wicked hearts. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But the righteousness and faithfulness that wrap around our Lord Jesus are of a different kind altogether. They are of a specific kind. It is a faithfulness to save sinners, to save the wicked. He is faithful to save you. And it is a righteousness that he will judge you with, but not the righteousness of the law, with his own righteousness that he gives and credits to you freely as a gift. By grace he saves you, through faith, and this not of yourself, it is the gift of God. In other words, Jesus is all the righteousness that you need, and he gives himself to you. This giving is the essence of Christmas. Christ gives himself to sinners and for sinners. Indeed, this is what the Christmas story is all about. He comes even for the lowliest of sinners, for the unfaithful, for the unrighteous. And all of this is pictured by his being born in a manger, born in a place below the dignity of God, below the dignity of human beings, born in the home of animals, born below the dignity of any human home, in order that he might show himself to be the Savior of even the lowest and least of all human beings. For this reason, too, Almighty God comes into our world as a little clump of living cells, as a fetus, as the smallest form of human life, that he might be the Savior of all human life, from the least and even the unborn, to the greatest and the most aged. There is none who Jesus leaves out. He comes for all, atones for the sins of all, conquers death for all, and overthrows Satan for all. But Pastor, if Christ has done all this, why then do I still sin and fear death and go to the grave and see Satan's power in me and in the church and in the world? The answer is faith. Your eyes cannot tell you the truth, only your ears. For your ears have God's word and God's promise, and God cannot lie. God wants you to believe his word and his promise, despite what your eyes see, despite quote-unquote reality, which is in fact only that which you perceive. Listen instead to what God says, to what God promises in his word. Jesus says that he has come to make all things new. Isaiah preaches an amazing picture of this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. You see, the child is making all things new. But of course, that's just the point. We don't see. We don't find it plausible. But we do hear God say it. Therefore, the prophet isn't done with us. He is not done with us until we believe the unbelievable, for God has spoken. And so he continues, "The cow and bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." God wants you to believe his word and promises, to live by faith in his word and not by sight. Indeed, he has promised to make all things new. And the central and most stunning image that the prophet gives us is also the one that is most accessible to faith, and the very one that is revealed in this Christmas season. He speaks of the child who is unafraid of the snake. God promised this child to Adam and Eve, and they believed. God promised this child to Abraham and Sarah, and they believed. Look up at the stars, Abraham, and number them if you can. So shall your offspring be, your children, but not by flesh, instead by faith. Look up at the stars, Abraham, and number them if you can. The stars in the bright sky look down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.